Mary's song, the Magnificat. Mary has been given many titles down through the ages, and some Christians have disagreed with one another quite bitterly about her. But equally, in every age and every church, she has been, for many Christians, a sign of hope and a great inspiration. Her earliest title, though, agreed throughout the church in the first centuries of our faith, before they split up into a whole bunch of other groups, the first title for Mary was Theotokos. My Greek is terrible, forgive me. Theotokos, which means God-bearer, the bearer of God. Mary is the prime God-bearer, bearing for us the one who was begotten in eternity. And every Christian after her seeks to become in some small way a God-bearer, to bear God into the world. When we join with Mary in her saying yes to God, it means that Christ is made alive in the world through our flesh, our daily lives, our living. And it means that Christ is born and shared with the world once again. The song that Mary sings, that we commonly call the Magnificat, because it starts with Mary magnifying or praising God. It wasn't original with her, in fact. Mary is echoing the words of Hannah when she was pregnant with Samuel way back in the Hebrew Bible. And Hannah is singing a variation of an even older song that Miriam sang, her song of victory, which she sings after her people escape the Egyptian chariots when they cross the Red Sea. Centuries later, when Mary needs to say something about the surprising, marvelous act of God that will change her life and the life of the world, she echoes the words of her forebearers and the emotions of Miriam's song and Hannah's song, and she puts them together. But I wonder if you notice that Mary doesn't sing her joyful song of revolution until after she visits Elizabeth. That's why we had to interrupt the song and hear about the visit with Elizabeth. When Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth announces with great certainty that God is doing something wonderful through Mary. And it's this encouragement from Elizabeth that allows Mary to sing. Surely she had some idea that there were trials associated with being a mother in the first place, and surely the mother of the Messiah, the Holy One of God. Those of us who know the rest of the story know that Mary and Joseph end up being refugees in Egypt because of Mary's baby, and that Mary will eventually see her son executed. Mary doesn't know any of this yet, but still her situation is overwhelming. She is young, she is pregnant, and she's still unmarried, and a woman in Palestine, first century Palestine. But she sings. for it, lost my spot. Mary sings because Elizabeth helps her to see that God is present and active in her life, that God is working a miracle through her. Elizabeth was not only Mary's cousin, she was her friend. And she doesn't tell her, don't be afraid, or that it won't be hard. What's the point of saying that? What she does is she tells her how special she is and shares the joy that she feels about Mary's child. Elizabeth helped Mary to see and to celebrate the amazing thing that God was doing with her. That she, a poor girl from Nazareth, was part of God's incredible intervention in human history. Through her, God was turning the world upside down so that the poor and the powerless were honored while the rich and the powerful were humbled. You may have noticed, these are revolutionary words. These are not simply religious words. They are political words. They are economic words. God's coming into the world would not only change some hearts and minds, it would change the world. Every aspect of our lives and relationships. It will turn social norms on their heads, turn institutions upside down. The advent of Christ was not simply a warm and fuzzy story about a baby being born. It signaled the most revolutionary event in human history. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty. With ancient words of revolutionary hope, Mary sings what God is doing through her. But over 2,000 years later, where is that revolution? What happened? The world certainly has changed since the coming of Christ, but it didn't exactly turn upside down, did it? The poor are still very much with us, in fact, growing again in number, right here in our own community and throughout the world. The rich keep getting richer, and the powerful are still very much in charge. Things are not as they should be in our lives or in our world. There is so much fear in the world. The future is not clear, and life is rarely smooth sailing. The revolution of Jesus is accomplished, but not anywhere near complete. It has begun, but it is not fulfilled. You see, we live in an in-between time. It's a time between the coming of Christ into the world and the return of Christ to complete what was started. We can debate how that return might come and if we'll even recognize it when it does. But in the meantime, we need to hear the promise that Mary heard. That even in the midst of fear and doubt, God is doing something extraordinary. The good news of this passage, this story, comes to light when these two women come together. Elizabeth is able to see God's activity in Mary's life and shares that with Mary, and that helps Mary to celebrate and sing. In our own lives, things may not be as we have planned them to be, But I wonder if our ability to sing comes in the same way Mary's did. That there is evidence for us of God's presence and activity in our lives, every one of us. So who are the Elizabeths in your life? Who has helped you to see God's presence with you, even in the midst of difficulty? Who has helped you see your gifts? Who has helped you feel the presence of God with you, and they support and encourage you through difficult times? Who has helped you to find your voice? I invite you to think about that today and throughout this coming week. This past week, I've been thinking about all the women and men who have helped me to see God's activity in my life and in the world. Those who have helped me sing God's song of revolutionary justice. To keep singing even in difficult times when it was hard to see the future. This is what we are about as a church, as the church. Mary and Elizabeth give us a glimpse of what the church would be. Friends supporting and encouraging each other, saying to each other, look what God is doing among us. This is what we are called to be for each other. Some of you may have heard of the author, wonderful writer, Anne Lamott, one of my favorites. She shared this in her blog this week, and I loved it. And like our Elizabeth, a wonderful older cousin, she shares this wisdom for those of us who might be feeling overwhelmed or find this time of year difficult. Here's what she says. Here is how we are going to get through the next couple of weeks. Left foot, right foot, left foot, breathe. I say the words out loud to a trusted friend or my husband or my son. The best acronym for fear I have ever heard, besides future events already ruined, is frantic effort to appear relaxed. I call my best friends on bad days and say, I hate everyone and all of life. And they say, I am so glad you called. Want to go to Target? And then I'm halfway home. Driving around with a best friend, listening to the Beatles, heaven, for now. And that is all we ever have. Mary and Elizabeth can help us sing the ancient song of God's revolution in our lives and our time. And we can help each other sing our joyful song of revolution too. And through friends and cousins, both ancient and present today, the Spirit gives each of us a revolutionary song to sing. May we find the courage in the midst of all that is overwhelming to sing our song of joyful revolution. Amen. Let's sing our joy some more. Let's hear the joy song.
Amen. this moment of quiet contemplation, we lift up our hopes for the world, for its people, for the kind of kingdom embodied by the child who became the Christ. Audacity. We come to you today weary of the forces that make joy such a difficult thing to hold, weary of the effort it takes to birth something new. In a world bent on regressing away from wholeness for all people, we know you are with us, for you came to our human story when we needed your message so much. We still do. We ask, what child is this that we follow? And who are we in the scene of this unfolding story? As the Nativity begins to fill with the promise of new birth, we again plead for your presence to break into our lives and show us the light of joy. And we ask for the courage to step into the scene, preparing the way for fullness of possibility for all people. We give you thanks, O God, this day for cozy moments of speaking to one another, for quiet Advent mornings, for days to walk the labyrinth, for windstorms and warm cups of tea. We name our sorrow this day, sorrow for the Tate family and the death of Nadine Tate earlier this week. We hold Stuart and all their family in our prayers. Prayers for peace during a season that is even more difficult to lose someone they love. We ask for healing and joy this day for those in hospital, for those living in this season through grief, their first Christmas without loved ones, for people waiting for surgery, for the people in the Fraser Valley, the farmers and producers, for families and those who have lost so much with this week's flooding, for the people of Australia and our Jewish sisters and brothers. Be with us as we seek to be the body of Christ in the world. We pray in the way you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. What gifts are adequate for the Son of Mary, the bringer of joy? Whether what we have is to give is simply the gift of our presence and gratitude, or if we are privileged with coffers of precious resources, we give what we have to offer. Gifts here at Gilmore Park can be offered in a variety of ways, highlighted up here on the screen. And if you haven't already, we invite you to place your gifts in our offering box just over here near the doors. We will sing this song as that happens.
Let's raise our voices in song and joy. Good Christian friends, rejoice. As we go into our community, let us ask the question we came with. What child is this? This is the one born in a time when unbridled joy was squelched by those in power. What child is this? This is the one whose birth would stir the world from slumber and challenge us to know joy that comes from right relationships. What child is this? This is the Son of Mary, who shows us the song of life that is ours when we stand up for the least.
Child of joy, the spirit of resistance to injustice, be with you now and as you go. Amen.